Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Rising Parent Podcast, the show that's all about helping families not just survive, but thrive. I'm Tim, and I'm here with the amazing Edna, ready to tackle another parenting puzzle.
Hey Tim, and hi to all our wonderful listeners. Today we are diving headfirst into a topic that I know many parents can relate to, sibling rivalry.
You got it, Edna. And the episode title is Navigating Sibling Rivalry, From Chaos to Cooperation. Because, let's be honest, sometimes it feels like a battle zone, right? We're going to unpack some strategies to help you move from referee to facilitator.
Referee burnout is real, folks. So buckle up, grab your coffee or wine, depending on the time of day, and let's get started.
All right, so sibling rivalry. Those two words alone can strike fear into the heart of any parent. What's the first thing that pops into your head when you hear that, Edna?
Oh, instant flashbacks to raised voices over toys, accusations of, he touched my stuff, and the general sense that I'm mediating World War III, you know?
Totally. It's that constant low-level hum of conflict, isn't it? It's exhausting. But the first thing I always tell parents I work with is that sibling rivalry is actually pretty normal. It's a very common part of child development.
Exactly. It's how kids learn to negotiate, assert themselves, and let's face it, sometimes just try to get your attention.
Precisely. Think of it as a practice field for life. Okay, maybe a slightly chaotic practice field.
A very slightly chaotic practice field. But it's true. So, Tim, where do we even start with this whole chaos to cooperation thing?
Well, first, it's super important to understand the underlying reasons why the rivalry is happening in the first place. It's rarely just about the toy or the TV remote.
True. It's usually deeper than that, right? Like competing for attention, feeling insecure, or a perceived lack of fairness.
Bingo. We had a family come to us through our coaching program recently. Two boys, ages 6 and 8, constantly bickering. It drove their parents nuts. It turned out the 6-year-old felt like the older brother got all the big kid privileges, while the 8-year-old was actually feeling pressured to always be the responsible one.
Oh, that's so common. The older kid burden. It's a real thing. So how did you help them unpack that?
We started by helping the parents see things from both kids' perspectives. Then we worked with them to create some dedicated one-on-one time with each child. Even just 15 minutes a day of focused attention can make a huge difference.
That's such a great point. That individual time helps fill their attention bucket, so to speak. And when those buckets are full, they're less likely to compete for the attention they need.
Exactly. And we also encouraged them to create some shared activities that were genuinely fun for both boys, something where they had to cooperate to succeed.
Ooh, like what? Give us an example.
Well, in this case, we suggested building a ridiculously elaborate Lego creation together, one that required teamwork and problem solving, or even something simple like cooking a meal together.
Love it. Team building exercises in the kitchen. Plus, you get dinner out of it. Win-win.
Absolutely. Now, another thing I always stress to parents is to avoid comparing their children. It's like pouring gasoline on the fire of sibling rivalry.
Oh, yes, the comparison trap. Why can't you be more like your sister? Instant resentment guaranteed.
Every child is unique, with their own strengths and weaknesses. Comparing them just fuels insecurity and competition.
And it totally undermines their self-esteem, right? They start feeling like they're never good enough.
Exactly. Instead, focus on celebrating each child's individual talents and accomplishments, and avoid labeling them. He's the smart one. She's the athletic one. Those kinds of labels can be really damaging.
So true. I remember one family from our daycare had 2 daughters. One was naturally outgoing and bubbly, and the other was more reserved and artistic. The parents were constantly pushing the quieter daughter to come out of her shell and be more like her sister. It was heartbreaking to watch.
Ugh, that's rough. So what should they have done differently, Edna?
Honored and supported her artistic side. enrolled her in art classes, displayed her creations proudly, and celebrated her quiet strength. Instead of trying to change her, they should have nurtured her unique gifts.
Spot on. Now, what about when the fighting actually breaks out? What's your go-to strategy, Edna?
First, try to stay calm, because let's be honest, it's easy to get swept up in the drama, but yelling just escalates the situation.
So true. Calmness is contagious. Well, hopefully contagious.
Hopefully. Then try to get them to articulate what's really bothering them. Instead of just saying, "He took my toy," encourage them to explain how it made them feel.
That's key. Helping them express their emotions in a constructive way. And what if they're just screaming at each other?
Then separate them. Sometimes they just need a little space to cool down. And then, once they're calmer, try to facilitate a conversation where they can work towards a solution together.
And teaching them problem-solving skills is crucial. It's not about always being right, but about finding a compromise that works for everyone.
Exactly. And it's okay if they don't always agree. The goal is to teach them how to navigate disagreements respectfully.
Right. I had a client whose kids were constantly fighting over screen time. It was a nightmare. So we worked with them to create a written schedule for screen time that everyone agreed on. And then we taught the kids how to negotiate changes to the schedule fairly.
Oh, that's smart. Giving them some agency in the process. And what happens when the fighting gets physical?
That's a non-negotiable. Physical aggression is never okay. It's important to have clear consequences for that kind of behavior.
Absolutely. And to model healthy conflict resolution yourself, kids are always watching and learning from how we handle disagreements.
You're so right. If mom and dad are yelling at each other all the time, it's hard to expect the kids to behave any differently.
Okay, so we've covered understanding the underlying causes, avoiding comparisons, staying calm during conflicts, and teaching problem-solving skills. What other tips do you have for navigating sibling rivalry, Tim?
One often overlooked aspect is recognizing and validating each child's feelings. It's easy to dismiss their concerns as trivial, but to them, those feelings are very real.
Yes. Saying things like, "I understand you're feeling angry because your brother took your toy," can go a long way in de-escalating the situation.
Definitely. And it helps them feel heard and understood. Another thing is to encourage empathy. Help them see things from their sibling's perspective.
Like asking questions like, "How do you think your sister felt when you said that?"
Exactly. And finally, remember that sibling rivalry is not always a bad thing. It can actually help kids develop important social and emotional skills.
Totally. Learning to share, negotiate, compromise, and stand up for themselves. Those are all valuable life lessons.
Absolutely. And sometimes the best thing you can do as a parent is just to step back and let them work it out themselves, as long as it's not escalating into physical aggression, of course.
Right. It's tempting to jump in and fix everything, but sometimes they need to learn how to navigate those conflicts on their own.
Okay, Edna, before we wrap up, let's recap the key takeaways for our listeners.
Sounds good.
First, remember that sibling rivalry is normal. It's not a sign that you're a bad parent.
Second, try to understand the underlying causes of the rivalry. It's usually about more than just the immediate conflict.
Third, avoid comparing your children. Celebrate their individual strengths and talents.
Fourth, stay calm when conflicts arise and teach your kids problem-solving skills.
Fifth, validate their feelings and encourage empathy.
And finally, remember that sibling rivalry can actually be a valuable learning experience.
Great summary, Edna.
Thanks, Tim.
So, that's it for today's episode on navigating sibling rivalry. We hope you found these tips helpful.
And remember, you're not alone in this parenting journey. We're all in this together.
Absolutely.
And now for our call to action.
Yes, we would absolutely love it if you would subscribe to the Rising Parent podcast so you don't miss an episode.
And if you're feeling extra generous, please leave us a 5-star review. It helps other parents find our show.
And definitely visit our website at risingparent.org.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
Until next time, keep rising.